Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to Hell and High Water with my excellent co-host, my adopted son, Chuck O'Chelly. And God knows we got plenty to talk about today. But before we get started, I not only want to say good morning to Chuck, but I want to wish him a happy belated birthday.
Oh, you know, thanks, Mom. I do appreciate that. thankfully feeling a bit stronger than I did the last time we spoke.
I know, you were like a death's door, but you still got through it.
I always do my best. And listen, I've got to make the effort, especially when it's time for you and I to get together, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm glad you were born, and I'm glad you're doing the work you do. And I can see in myself, in you, somebody that can take over for me when I finally go home. And that's saying a lot, Chuck.
Yeah, I have no idea how to respond to that, and I appreciate it, but there is never going to be another Maria Heller or somebody who can really take over what it is you do. We can always attempt to simulate the sentiment, but never can we duplicate what actually you do. So never, ever, ever think anybody, if anybody's listening to this thinking somebody's going to really take over for what Maria does, I would say you're unfortunately mistaken. But you know what? We can do our best to aspire to it. How about that?
Okay, I'll give you that. It reminds me of what my mother used to say. She says when they made you, they threw away the mold, but she always added, "Thank God." Anyway, lots of stuff going on in the news. I wanted to talk about the fact that you came on the show half dead last month. You're still not 100% this month. And the reason I'm saying that is I'm going to ask you why you do what you do. But before I do, I'm going to preface it with what Trump said yesterday about Mueller's raid on Michael Cohen and saying that it was an attack on the country. And then he also said that the Iowa farmers that are going to get crushed, that are already crushed by his tariffs, they'll understand because they know what it is to be a patriot. Hearing that come out of the mouth of a traitor, corrupt fool like Trump, I said, who are the real patriots in this country? Now, when people say to me, why do you do what you do? I said, because I'm a patriot. Why do you do what you do?
Well, because, quite honestly, there is a future that can speak to the things that we thought it was supposed to be. The trajectory we are on is not leading to anything resembling what it is we were told this country and this world was supposed to be like. I mean, that's the bottom line. And I'm not just a patriot, for the Americas, if you will, or for this country or for a particular people. I got to tell you something. There is such a thing as being a patriot for humanity.
Right.
And that's what I'm interested in. Now, is it revolting and disgusting that a traitorous individual turns around and tries to hang that out there, an attack on him and his corrupt people and his liars, excuse me, lawyers, is some sort of attack on a nation? Well, he is not this nation. I mean, he allegedly lives in it and allegedly is an American. and therefore should be given about the same amount of rights as anybody else, and so should all his people. I give him all that, which means, you know what, before we convict him, we should put him through the process. And part of that process is welcome to reality, my friend. The FBI can raid places,
right?
Okay, and the government can reach into your data, no matter what it is, no matter where it is, and you need to read the National Defense Authorization Act that you end up signing. You need to read the re-upping on the Patriot Act. It would be nice if you read anything, but I don't think this guy ever took the time to really even take a look at anything outside of a logo on the back of a matchbook, okay? And the fact is that we need to do this so that things don't get worse, number one. And here we go. See, it's not about me, by the way. Yeah, I can tell you what my personal motive is, but we need to do more, and we can always do better. That's the key here. And we could argue over the very little particulars about exactly which direction each particular factor needs to go in when it comes to, well, what about this set of rights and that set of rights, and what about people's right, first of all, to be, okay, and not even to follow it up with to be American or to be a man or to be a woman or to be whatever label it is you want to put upon yourself. How about our right to be in the first place?
Right.
That is the first thing that we need to defend. And I say again, our, because you know what? I don't do this all for myself. That's not what it's about, and I don't care if people remember my name, or I don't really care if people listen to exactly what I say, but I would love to see them think more, act more, and stand up and begin to change the world around them, as we are all actually empowered to do. So is that a long-winded explanation, and does it tie into where we're going next? Certainly, but is that fair enough, Mom?
Yes, I thought that was good. When people ask me, I always say, because I must. Now, you know better than most, before George Bush stole the election in 2000, I was very happy as an environmentalist and a spiritual teacher. But my guidance told me that I had to cover politics, because if Bush got in, it would be the end of the environment. So I had to back into knowing everything that I know for the sake of the planet. The planet comes first to me. I consider myself a citizen of the planet. But you also have to remember, I grew up in the 1950s, okay? So patriotism was a natural part of growing up in America at that time. And in a way, we kind of almost learned real history, but then I learned real history on my own, thanks to Howard Zinn, Sun Bear, so many great tribal leaders that left information behind. And then, you know, it seemed to get a little bit better once Bush was out. But when you look at what Trump is doing to the environment, which nobody's talking about, I am, you know, the endangered species list, he's taken 100 animals off that list, gutting the Clean Air, Clean Water Act. How can I be anything but involved in covering the destruction of this planet when I have children and I have grandchildren? Just that, you know, and I think about your son. I think about Jack's kids. I think about everybody's kids. When I see a new baby, I worry, okay? And maybe that's just part of being a grandma. But, you know, this is, you know, I used to always say when people ask me, what are you Italian American? I used to say I was an American Italian. I never said I was Italian American, but now that has reversed again.
Right. You know, look, when it comes to the environment and when it comes to, again, the future, here's the thing, you know, it is unbelievable what's actually happening, and what has continued to happen. I mean, Obama was no friend of the environment either, but now we're in a situation where we have an enemy of the environment.
Right, open enemy. Right.
Who, you know, who has no understanding of anything that is happening, and puts people in place that have no understanding of anything that is happening. I mean, we literally had the State Department dominated by Exxon, effectively. Now we're going to have, a CIA stooge running it. That's going to be great. this, when you look at the State Department, the Department of Interior, you look at the EPA, all of these things, okay, not in the perfect way. Before Trump came into office, certainly in a lot of ways, inept organizations that didn't look at some very serious threats to the environment, you know, like nuclear power, quite honestly, that this is one of the ugliest scars on the planet, which is absolutely ridiculous that we're even still dealing with these things on the planet. But, you know, I mean, you take a look at where they're constructed. By the way, if you ever take an overlay of extremely environmentally vulnerable areas that are vulnerable to all sorts of natural disasters, and you take a look at some of the hottest of zones, and then you take a look at exactly where it is they decided to construct these things, one does wonder.
Oh, yeah, just like the one in California, right on an earthquake fault. They put in a nuclear reactor.
I wish it was just California, though, Maria.
I know.
Literally.
I know.
All of them.
I agree, and they're all old, okay? Well, the lifespan of a nuclear reactor is 30 years, and they just keep renewing their lease without any inspection, without any maintenance, without anything. And, you know, Fukushima, you know, the people that made Fukushima, I forget the number because I said it on my show, how many of the same exact reactors are built in America? By the same people.
Right, the same ones, or in some cases, ones that have even less protective backups for problems and things like that than what they had in Japan. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I'm not kidding, by the way. I mean, there are things on the east coast of the U.S. that nobody is talking about that are leaking, have all sorts of problems. I mean, if you want to drive yourself crazy, you can actually keep track of this stuff in real time. Take a look at the scram alerts and things that go on at these plants every day that don't make the news cycle, Maria. You and I know this. As a matter of fact, you know that very little news is to be had at this point about the environment and what's actually happening. We have die-offs in the ocean. We have various parts of the food chain being destroyed one way or another. I mean, the endangered species, well, you know, I'm not sure which species aren't endangered at this point, to be honest with you.
I think the number one endangered species right now is the human being.
Well, yes, and why? Because we are literally, and here's something people forget, you know, it doesn't matter, you can destroy the earth will heal. Well, sure it will. It will heal eventually, no matter what we do to it. I believe the earth will heal, but, you know, we may not make it through the next healing process if we keep this up. And again, when you think about your children, your grandchildren, I hear you, I understand you, but here's the thing that I want to also say. It is our generation, you know, the one that I'm part of, but also your generation that we need to look at and say, you know, guys, how come there wasn't more being done? Now, I can't say that to Maria Heller.
No, you can't.
Because you did everything you could to make people aware, you know, of environmental concern before you ever got involved.
Absolutely.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you know, you brought me back. I just tripped back in time to 1990 when I was living in a gorgeous community on Long Island, Long Beach, which till today is still the most beautiful beach in the world. And I've traveled to a lot of beaches. But I remember putting on an Earth Day event. It was about a year or so after I had met Sun Bear, who was, of course, an environmentalist. Like most Native Americans, they take in the next seven generations in everything they do. But there I was on a bandstand on the beach in front of 25,000 people with a little book that was going around at the time, you know, 50 Ways You Can Save the Planet. So to me, you know, had people listened, even in the 90s, even as early as 1990, we could be living in a much cleaner world.
Well, right. And even that has been hijacked to some degree because now people want to argue over whether, you know, global warming is a reality or is it climate change? Has that been something that's been developed by, you know, liberals who want to, I love this, by the way, liberals that want to control people's minds and get them, you know, get everybody on board. And you know, here's the thing. When people talk about the Agenda 20 and Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030 and all these things, are they true? Yes. Are they using environmentalism to try and suck people into believing that, you know, that human beings should be handled in a certain way and compacted into cities. Yes, they are. But there's real information here, and there are noticeable things, because you know what? Between 1990 and now, you cannot say that the environment anywhere in this country, certainly, where we have, you know, access to all the seasons and all that, you can't say that it has not changed.
Right.
You can't say that there has not been climate change. Now, again, I realize that these are buzzwords for some people, but realistically, the term is accurate.
Right.
The climate has changed. Mankind has done damage to our environment. And here's the thing for some people, you know, and I want to say this just because I feel a need to. You know, a lot of people want to speculate about spaceships. And we're going to go to another planet. There's going to be other colonies. Not yet and not soon enough. Okay?
Right.
But you know what? If we go there, what are we going to do? Destroy that?
That's what I say. Man should never be allowed off this planet, because what they've done here, they'll repeat everywhere else.
Let's get
to the crux of the matter, you know, because a lot of people don't understand why so many people, especially Christians and Christian conservatives, don't care about the environment, you know, whether it's Scott Pruitt all the way on down. And I guess the reason I was raised in such an oppressive religion was to really know the Bible, okay, just to know what other people supposedly believe, that they never seem to live by it. But I blame a lot of it on religion, because the Bible said gives them the twisted version of basically God will take care of the environment, and you have dominion over the planet. But dominion in those days didn't mean you can just take everything you want willy-nilly. What it meant was to care for the earth. So when you get religion to tell you don't give a shit about the environment because God's going to take care of it, well, if you truly believe you are God, then you need to take care of it. And I've done shows on that, you know, back in the past, so many years ago. But this morning it was interesting because I saw an article that once again confirmed something I said. I think I said it probably about, it had to be 2 years, maybe 3 years ago, that I said to a lot of people, don't buy property in Phoenix because it's going to become uninhabitable in about 5 years. And this morning I saw this great article, which I posted on Facebook, saying that the Southwest, especially cities like Phoenix, will probably be out of water by 2019.
Wow.
Now, you don't have to be a spiritual person. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. But if you're connected to the earth and you continually watch them destroy the natural habitat of the desert, and millions of people moving into a place that wasn't meant to be moved into like that, every time I would drive downtown, I would say, why do they keep building? Where do they think they're going to get the water? But man, doesn't they forgotten that we depend on nature. We're interconnected to it. And now we have, you know, the ultimate environmental demons in office, you know, whether it's from the EPA all the way to the USDA. I mean, I don't know if you caught the article that Trump actually put one of his golf caddies in a job at the USDA. So, I mean, we got nothing but idiots running the asylum and religious freaks. I'm sure you know that Mike Pompeo starts his confirmation hearings today. But what people don't know about Pompeo, besides the fact that he's a war hawk, is he's a religious fanatic. He believes that only Christians should rule this country. So that takes us back to the Bible. So how much more destruction are they going to do to the planet before this shakes out?
Well, you know, here's the thing, and it's going to sound like I'm picking a little bit at you, but please bear with me. I don't blame the Bible. And I'll tell you why I don't blame the Bible. It's because these people obviously haven't read the whole thing.
Or any of it.
First of all.
Or any of it.
What's that?
They haven't read any of it, but they still quote it when it suits them.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing I was going to say. You know, they've obviously read a couple of things that they can quote, or at least they've read the notes that somebody gave them that they can quote. And some of them are of this mindset that, you know, listen, Jesus will be back soon, so it really doesn't matter. You know, so when he comes, all things will be made whole in one way or another. And I don't know, hold your breath, I guess. Please do. And continue to do it until he arrives. Because that would certainly solve a lot of issues. I'm sorry.
But they did a cute little skit about that on, I think it was Saturday Night Live last week.
Oh, they did?
Right. Like, Jesus ain't here, but I am. So it was pretty interesting.
I don't watch this stuff too much.
But here's
listen.
Go ahead.
Some people, I'm sorry, some people, you know, they want to focus on the book of Revelations, the return of the Savior, and all of that good stuff, and they continuously look for many Saviors to return and restore what it is they believe was once great about this nation, and therefore don't worry about it because God takes care of all things. They always forget this, and I brought this up with every single clergy member, because occasionally I do talk to them. On occasion, some of the more rational and sane ones that I've spoken to recently, I've said, you know, I think everybody's forgetting the whole God helps those who help themselves kind of thing, which I remember being taught very early on, you know, because I bounced around between a couple of different Sunday schools when I was a kid. And I do remember this being impressed upon us.
Oh, yeah. My mother had a codicil to that. You want to hear it?
Oh, sure.
She would say, God helps those who help themselves, and God help you if you get caught helping yourself.
Yeah, well, this is true, but, but you know, in an ideal world, right, this is the way it should be, and relying on prayer and the waiting coming apocalypse to straighten it all out is not really my game plan.
Right.
You know, it's just...
Right.
I don't think it's the game plan of anybody who's rational. There are people like that who think that, you know, listen, strengthening the nation state of Israel means that I'm being a good Christian because I'm supporting the historical Israel, which, you know, you are commanded to do by the Bible and all that. It is the people from the pulpits who are responsible for this hypocrisy and malaise of morality that's really taken hold in the allegedly Christian sects of this country, certainly, and possibly worldwide, but I can only speak to what I see right in front of me. And the reality is that it's all a matter of misinterpretation, and it's all a matter of not really actually following the example, because I'll tell you something. I believe that if somebody did actually understand the book, and followed its precepts, if that happened in mass, we would not have many of the issues we have right now.
Right. You know? Well, if everybody followed all their holy books, I don't want to just single out the Bible. But then when you do have a savior or a leader or a spiritual leader that shows up, okay, whether it's Gandhi, whether it's Osho, whether it's a singer named John Lennon, or Martin Luther King, when you have someone who shows up and talks about peace, they get murdered by the government. So imagine if Jesus, who was, you know, a dark-skinned man with long hair, looked like a hippie freak, if he showed up now, he'd be impaled instantly. Because everybody thinks they're better than everybody else.
No, that's an absolute truth, and that's the reality, right? And by the way, if he did show up, he wouldn't be hanging out at Trump Tower.
No.
He wouldn't be hanging out with all these politicians and power brokers. You know, that's another thing.
He whipped the bankers. He whipped the bankers in the temple. He overturned their money-changing tables, okay?
That's right.
He berated them for selling animals, okay? I mean, he was not a pacifist. If he existed at all, I have plenty of shows to prove he didn't, but that's a different topic. But when you look at, you know, anybody good that comes along, listen, I'm not going to compare Bernie Sanders to Jesus, okay, although they were both Jews. But when you had an opportunity, and I'm not saying he was a saint in any way, but when we had an opportunity for some glimmer of real hope, the Democrats took him down.
Well, right. And here's the thing. People object to and they say, oh, well, what are you doing? You're supporting somebody who would have been a Zionist and all that. I don't see that. I'll tell you one thing that can't be argued is that we would have had a change. we would have had an actual change.
Right.
If that would have been allowed to continue organically. Again, you know, but there is no way that's going to happen. Only the chosen, only the elect. And this brings me to the twisted ideals of again, since we brought up Christianity, and you're right, nobody actually reads their holy books. I don't care what religion it is. Nobody seems to know the content of any of their holy scriptures, quite honestly. But back to it, right? What's interesting to me is that we have this, and I want people to go look this up for themselves and not discuss it really at length with you right now, but there was a man named Calvin, and, you know, that's his last name, and there is something called Calvinism,
right,
where, you know, people believed that they were predestined to their successes in life by God's plan and all of that, and wow, that sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Right.
That people are selected by God. Actually, they are the elect class. Among us, right? And that even the show of financial success and the gathering of all of these worldly goods was proof of and you can look at this for yourself and figure it out. But I'm telling you now, this is an interesting thing, which is kind of built into the American psyche,
mm-hmm.
which is very strange, which has allowed these people to show up and say, listen, I'm a successful guy. What do they always say about these people that Trump has selected and Trump himself being selected and all of this other stuff? And I do mean selected because, you know, election, come on, how much fraud do you want to deal with here?
Right.
The greatest democracy money could buy, Greg Palast calls it, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's right. But the thing is, what do they always say? He's a smart man and they're smarter than us because, why, they're rich? Ah, okay. So that equates intelligence, that equates knowing the right thing to do. All of a sudden, a lot of things are embedded into your alleged success worldly goods, right? This is a weird thing to watch unfold, and I think people are not paying attention to that they are hypnotized, mesmerized by this idea, and I think it's all got to do with the philosophies that were developed by John Calvin.
Right, right. Well, you know what the Native Americans say. As soon as the Christians arrived, they said they put their knee to the ground with their holy book in their hands, and then they put their knees on our necks.
Yeah.
So there you have it. You know, it's that old joke where a Christian tells a Native American chief that if he doesn't accept Christianity, he's going to go to hell. And he said to the guy, but would I have gone to hell if you didn't tell me that? And he said, no. And he said, then why'd you tell me?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Anyway, let's move on and groove. And just, I want to just say one more thing about those nuclear reactors, okay? Because I made myself a note while you were talking. If 9/11 was truly meant to be a terrorist attack, those planes flew right over Indian Point nuclear power plant in New York that would have taken out four states. And that was a big part of covering the lies we were told on 9/11. Okay, but it hit a building that's as antiquated as Trump Tower that was, you know, fairly not rented. And everybody got lucky on that day. So when I saw Trump Tower's fire this week, which you could actually see the flames coming out of the guy's apartment windows, I thought about Building 7 and how it had a few small fires and collapsed in its own footprint. And yet, why didn't Trump Tower collapse into its own footprint?
Okay, now you're getting into my deleted tweet of the week. I said, you know, I deleted it right away. I got rid of it. But I said, I wonder if this tower will collapse in New York City from a couple of small fires that seem to have been started by who knows what from who knows where. Oh, wait a minute. That doesn't usually happen to tall buildings in a city unless. Yeah, right. And that's, it trailed off, literally. And I just said, you know what, I can't put this out.
Oh, well, I did, though. I put one up. I did, and I left it there. I said, isn't it amazing how Trump Tower didn't collapse in its own footprint, Building 7?
Mm.
And you know what? We can't let go of 9/11. Because if we let go of it or forget about it, people will never understand the world we're living in right now.
Well, you know, that is something also that continuously has to come up is, you know, last night even, we were talking about surveillance on people on my show. And, you know, this is not the way this is supposed to be. This is, you know, they shouldn't be tracking what American citizens do. This is what somebody else is saying. And I said, yeah, but post 9/11, that's what it is.
Right. Anything goes.
The justification for all of what you see now. I mean, there's that. Plus, they normalized it in the private sector. Tell me something, Maria. Can you go anywhere where civilization is and not be recorded or monitored by somebody, either publicly or privately? And by the way, when you think you're being monitored by somebody who's got a private security system, do you think for a second the NSA doesn't have access to every last one of those video feeds?
Of course. I mean, come on. Of course they do. But listen, there was a famous broadcaster years ago, I think it was Bill Moyer, who did an expose on Israel. And it had to be like in the, Jesus, maybe the early 70s, where he said that Israel actually has the right and records every phone conversation in the country here in America. So this is nothing new. The only thing new about it, with Facebook getting busted, YouTube, etc., is we now know about it quicker.
Right. Oh, no, listen, it's only our connectivity to the information that allows us to know anything at this point. And by the way, speaking of Facebook, really quick, is Zuckerberg actually going to have to speak to Congress? Is that accurate?
He's speaking to Congress as you and I speak. He's got 2 days of investigations. Facebook lost $100 billion yesterday. Steve Wozniak, I don't know if you know who he is, do you? The Woz?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Steve Wozniak, who I still delight everybody at an Apple store when I walk in and tell them that I actually have an interview with the Woz on my site from years ago when he wrote his book.
Right.
He actually started a delete Facebook movement and wrote why he's left Facebook and how messed up what they did was. So it's a very interesting time we live in.
No, absolutely. I mean, it is a very strange time where even we're taking a look at the interesting control mechanisms over information, which Facebook is one of them.
Right.
You know, suddenly it seems like they've had themselves pulled into too many different directions. You know, if they didn't just go to the highest bidder, maybe this wouldn't be a problem. I mean, if they had fully cooperated with just our government, maybe it wouldn't be an issue. That's what I'm suspecting. What do you think?
But they took money from everybody, didn't bother checking that a lot of it was from Russia and Russian trolls and Cambridge Analytica. So they say they didn't know. Chuck, we got to take a short break. Stay with us, Chuck, and I'll be right back. Hi, this is Maria. I don't often get to talk directly to the listeners here on the Gary Noll Network, but I felt like doing that today. I know a lot of you really enjoy my show, but you might not know that I do 4 shows a week over at my website, maria.net. So if you're loving the show you get to hear on Sunday, come on over to my site and subscribe, because I've got hundreds of hours of great shows on pretty much every topic in the universe. And that again is maria.net, M-E-R-I-A.net. And now we can get back to this excellent show. Thanks. Hi, Maria here, and I have a message due to the pressure of the times we're living in. I'm calling on all students and millennials to get the education they need to fight the fascism taking over our world. I've made a special subscription offer for students and for seniors on a limited budget. For just $9.99 a month, you can subscribe and get that education. Over 500 hours of real education that's necessary to understand the world, the problems, and the solutions. Remember, knowledge is power. Together, you can change the world, but to do so, you must be informed of what's really going on and have real facts to support you in your endeavors. It's time for all the grandmothers to take a stand and teach the younger generation what their life could be and how to get there. Help me help you. One person cannot do it alone, and the guidance you seek is right here at www.maria.net, M-E-R-I-A.net. Your generation is the generation we've been waiting for, so let me help you. Thanks for listening. Okay, welcome back to Hell and High Water. And yes, I guess this is a show neither one of us expected to talk about. But to me, the two most important things, the two most important stories on the planet, which I have now said for I don't know how many decades, are two things. The real and present nuclear danger every day, even by accident. And the other one is the environment, because without a healthy environment, our soul has nowhere to live. All the other stories, to me, are secondary. Not a one of them's going to matter if we have nowhere to live. Not election fraud, not criminals in office, not the fake democracy we have. None of it, LGBT rights, none of it will matter if we go nuclear or we continue to destroy what we need to survive on this planet.
Well, yeah, that's true, and I'm so glad to be with you for this because, again, a consideration, I want to put this in the personal head of anybody listening to what I'm saying right now. You don't think that the environment should be the upfront story, maybe, right? Let's just assume that for a minute. Maybe you're right. Well, let me ask you this. What are you supposed to eat? What are you supposed to drink? What are you supposed to breathe? Or is this today a good day to die? That's my question to you. Because all of those things that come into your body, I mean, just look at it from a selfish point of view. Maybe you don't care about the beauty of other creatures, of the creation itself. And I don't care what religious faith you are or whatever. Let's talk about the creation itself. A complex, beautiful, diverse, colorful, wonderful, textured thing that we were gifted to be able to visit here, this planet. Okay. Well, let me ask you, what is it that isn't affected by what we're talking about right now?
Right, exactly. So let's drop some more bombs. Let's use some more white phosphorus. Let's, you know, just keep blowing up the planet. I mean, obviously, they're pushing for a world war based on lies out of Syria once again, which will be another distraction. But you look at the damage, the birth defects we have left behind in Afghanistan, in Iraq, all around the planet, depleted uranium bullets, okay? And, you know, it's interesting, Chuck, because I, you know, a lot of my friends are over 60, and we were talking the other night, and we were really reminiscing, not about, you know, oh, rock and roll in the 60s. We were talking about the fact that when I was a kid, and even maybe up until my 30s, maybe my 40s, Alzheimer's disease was unheard of. One out of 36 kids having autism, unheard of. Okay, we didn't have any of that when I was young. I don't remember one autistic child ever, not in any of my school days, not in playing in the schoolyard, not in my 20s when I was working. I never heard of somebody saying, oh God, my friend gave birth and it was autistic. Okay, when you look at the diabetes in this country, where they say a third of Americans already have diabetes and the rest are what they call pre-diabetic, you can't just say it's only the food, okay? It's like they've created a perfect storm by destroying all our life support systems.
Mm. And one of the primary centers of attack, as you said, is our cognitive abilities. But again, this is being done on an environmental scale, so that you have no choice but to eat things and to consume things and to breathe things and to drink things that will promote the destruction of, yeah, your brain, okay? Mm-hmm. This is a reason why maybe so many people are, you know, asleep, not aware, not willing, seemingly stupid. As you walk out into town, you realize you're surrounded by people that don't seem to be able to put two thoughts together quickly enough to strike a spark to maybe even start a fire if they were in the middle of a thicket of dry brush, okay? No, it's true. But here's the thing. In, I believe it was, 1988, something like that. Maybe it was earlier. I don't know. The movie Rain Man came out.
Right.
And, you know, this was a rare thing. It sparked a national discussion that there are actually what they would call, and at that time it was idiot savant or autistic savant. These were common terms mm-hmm. for what Dustin Hoffman's character was suffering from right. in the movie Rain Man.
Right.
Autistic. People had to define that. Nobody knew what that meant because, yeah. You know what? It wasn't around. And this is at a point where, I'm a teenager at this point. You were not a teenager at this point. But the reality is, even up until that point, right? When you were kids, you certainly never heard of this. You never heard of the allergies that we see today either. Remember peanut allergies?
Right.
I remember that was a legendary thing. There was some kid in California, maybe, that we heard about.
I never knew one kid that had a peanut allergy when I was a kid. But then peanuts weren't genetically modified. They weren't sprayed with pesticides. Okay, they weren't created in a laboratory.
Well, and they also didn't utilize the oils to inject people with, you know, different things as well.
Right. Well, I think, you know, and I mean, to me, this is the most important thing. And it's the reason I started doing my show. I mean, I was very happy when I did, you know, terrestrial radio because I covered about 5 minutes of news, just generalization. The rest of the time, it was all spiritual talk, environmental talk. And then when I switched over to the internet in 2000, the voice said, Bush is running for office. You have to cover politics and the environment now.
Mm.
And I believe me, I said inside my own head, please God, anything but that. But I stepped up, okay, because we're all here on our own mission and our own journey. And, you know, this is a planet that was given to us as a gift. And people have forgotten that the only reason you come to this planet is to have a good time. And I don't know too many people that are having a good time.
Well, you know, that's an interesting thing, having a good time. I would love to be able to have a good time, Maria, but you know what I'm too busy doing?
Mm.
Getting sick, and it's not just me, by the way.
Right.
Because it seems to be everybody I talk to, one way or another, even the most astute of us when it comes to natural solutions, seems to be getting sicker and sicker overall over time. At a younger age, we're seeing people falling victim to things. Senility is what they used to call, what we end up calling today Alzheimer's disease.
Mm-hmm.
It all went under the senility, right? Clause there, the senility label. And that used to be something reserved for people in their 80s, 90s, where if people lived that long, maybe they started to, you know, lose their marbles a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know I'm being ugly about this, but quite honestly, today you see people in their 50s and 60s beginning to succumb to the symptoms of this. Why has it moved up 20, 30 years?
I know, it's very scary. I report on that. People in their 40s coming down with it.
Right. Parkinson's disease. Mm-hmm. Where did this come from? I recognize that there are damages, like, you know, from things like getting concussions. And we found out that things like even Lou Gehrig's disease are linked to Parkinson's, which can be linked to damages and injuries and things like that. Yes, indeed, that's true. And if you're an athlete, you got to be careful. But why is it that so many people are coming down with all of these neurological dysfunctions? This was unheard of. You're talking about a generation before me. Mm-hmm. This was unheard of. Well, right. In my generation, this was unheard of. Until the turn of this century, this was practically unheard of. But suddenly, why? Why has this come about?
Garbage out. That's the answer. You know, I tell people, I just had this conversation with some other lady who's probably my age at the gym. And I said, do you remember when we used to eat real food? When you used to scrape the bugs off your vegetables while they were boiling in a pot? You had to strain the bugs out? At least you knew your food was organic.
Right.
You know, and I remember that like it was yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Now, you know, now everything is genetically modified. That's one aspect of it. But if it's not genetically modified, who knows what it's been sprayed with? Oh, wait, it's supposed to be organic. But are you trusting the label? And I always love the quote from you. You know, here's this little section in the grocery store that says this is health food. What is the rest of the crap in the store then? If this is the healthy section,
right,
what does that mean for the rest of it? And certainly that's part of the equation, but what it really comes down to is this, Maria. There is a toxic cocktail that you cannot escape at this point, because the air you breathe is contaminated by whatever it is they're spraying and allowing to be emitted into the environment in general. The water is contaminated at the source because, hey, whatever is in the air is also in the water. But on top of that, you know, hey, look, we thought that they were going to let us have clean water running out of the faucets. Maybe not so. A lot of things going on. Plus food, maybe not food. Plus, you know, who knows what's going on with the electromagnetic fields, which are all affecting us. I mean, everything from your microwaves to your Wi-Fi. Basically, we're all being cooked. And there is nothing but a toxic stew for us to swim in at this point. And you can do your best to combat it. But if we don't deal with the whole of the problem, then we are going to deal with the whole of the negative results, right?
Right. Well, but right now, in the middle of all of this that we're talking about, the world is still pushing for another war. War based on lies. There was never any accountability for Iraq and Afghanistan and the Bush-Cheney administration. So why would Trump think there'll be any accountability for once again bombing Syria like he did a year ago, even when it was proven that they did not use chemical weapons? And then we have a president who forgets that they used chemical weapons on the Native Americans that were protesting the Keystone Pipeline. I'm sure you remember that when they were spraying them. Oh, the chemical weapons they spray on us every day. So who do we go to for saving? Who's going to save us? Who's going to bomb us for humanity?
Well, you know what's funny is somebody asked me, is this another wag the dog scenario? And I said, well, you know, here's my question back to you before I answer. Who's the dog? I see a few tails, and I'm not quite sure who the dog is. It seems as though there are three tails. They're all wagging, and I'm not sure what this means at this point. Could it be another grand distraction? Is he not a good enough distraction? You know, our friend Russian Agent Orange there in the White House.
Well, don't forget, now with his attorney's office is being raided, with all these cases against him, with these women coming out, with everybody jumping ship from his administration, another one left Homeland Security today. He needs a distraction. Now, people who have short memories and are not capable of critical thinking might have forgotten that about 2 months ago, Trump said the only thing that would save the Republicans in the midterms is if we have another event like 9/11.
Mm.
Okay, well, Syria is surely starting to look very convenient for Trump, who gets his directives from Fox News, which is partially owned by the Saudis, which a lot of people still don't want to get. So to me, it's all distraction and, you know, don't look at my left hand and pay attention to what my right hand is doing.
Oh, and certainly don't listen to what the adult film star says about me either, because that's fake news.
Right. Everything coming out of Trump's mouth is a lie. Look at this thing with the fire in his building. First of all, it was the second fire this year in that building. He fought against putting sprinklers in. Then he fought against the regulations. He had 15 years to put sprinklers in, never did, because he's a gonif, and people in New York know what that means. He's always been a slumlord. And what I'm thinking is, how is it that he's not culpable of murder? Because that man died because he refused to follow regulations.
Well, you know, listen, occasionally somebody's got to die when it's time to create an event so that maybe some insurance can get collected, especially on an apartment that can't seem to be sold right above where that fire was, coincidentally, but you didn't hear it from me.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of dirt here.
And especially, especially as Trump referred to him as that crazy Jew.
Well, you know, hey. This is the way guys talk in a locker room and on the streets, right, Maria? I mean, we should be used to this sort of thing. What are we being, snowflakes?
It's not the men I've known, and I don't like that people are demonizing all men now either and making them look like they're the majority or making it look like Trump's fans are the majority, because they're not. You know, I know very kind, sweet, caring men that are decent. And no, you know, they should be proud to call themselves men. But I haven't seen anybody in this administration that I even consider a human being, let alone a man or a woman. You know, Nikki Haley, you know, there she is pushing for war at the UN. And where's the evidence? Where's the proof?
Well, in all fairness, Nikki Haley's a pretty good man.
So was Hillary. Right. So was Hillary.
Well, right, of course. Look, all joking aside, the attack on every single thing that is organic is really what it's about. You want to talk about fake news? How about the fake reality and the fake paradigms? That's the overall message here today. I see it, as I see it anyway, Mom. And I know we're going to run out of time quick, But isn't that the reality here? Being misdirected, being kept away from the things that should be feeding you and could be feeding you,
right,
and being fed a bunch of garbage, whether it's on the political scene or literally on your table, or, hey, how about the air you breathe? Doesn't matter. What is it meant to do is keep us all sick, sick in our minds, sick in our bodies, sick in our spirits, which, well, wait a minute, that covers all of it, doesn't it?
Well, hell yeah, and think about it. The 5G network will be the grand finale.
Well, there you go. And you know, people laughed at me a couple of years ago, just really quick. A couple of years ago when I was talking about the coming of the 5G and how negative this stuff was, people thought, you know, it was funny.
Right.
There was a handful of listeners that said, wow, I didn't realize that, you know, there was all this going on and what this really means. And exactly, I never thought about all the coverage of these things all over. And you know what's funny is that nobody took me seriously. And I'm trying to say, listen, when this stuff comes in, you know, we're getting cooked. I mean, I'm not using that as a hyperbolic term. I mean, literally, people and animals and your trees and your food and everything is getting cooked if it's anywhere within the reach of this stuff. And where is it that it doesn't reach? Well, take a look at your coverage maps, folks. Come on.
Right. And it'll also have the ability to actually change your own thinking pattern, to control your brain, which will make all these sick and, you know, grown up on GMOs and poisons much easier to control. But yeah, listen, I don't even know. It probably was the first year of my show on the net that I covered the dangers of cell phones. And that's, you know, almost 20 years ago. Now they're finally starting to put out reports that they knew all along and didn't let people know. And when I repost those articles, I say, and this is why I still don't have one. Okay, one of many reasons, all right? But in those days, when I talked about it, everybody said I was a conspiracy freak, you don't know what you're talking about, blah, blah, blah. And I'm now seeing the same thing where people argued. Actually, I even lost subscribers to the show because of my coverage of Trump. And I was like, but I predicted this. I told you this was going to happen. And now those people want to come around again. And, you know, all I do is, you know, I have a great meme, that level of I told you so, that goes right to red. And I'll post that. And you don't have to have been a psychic. You know, listen, Trump is just a couple of years older than me. I grew up in New York. Everybody in New York knew what a scumbag he was. This wasn't new. Okay. His senility and his insanity has certainly deepened since then. But we all knew what he was. But, you know, I took a whole lot of crap, and occasionally the people still want to throw crap my way. And you know what? I don't want to hear it.
Well, you know, same thing happened here. And again, I'm not in this to gain fans or anything like that. I mean, listen, I appreciate anybody who spends the time to consider what it is that I put out. But it's not about, you know, trying to appease the masses. This is not what it's about. And I certainly, again, a generation behind you, grew up knowing exactly who this guy was, you know. And it's like, well, yeah, I'm sure it hasn't improved, because the longer they stew in elitist circles, you know, the worse they get. And this is what this guy has been and continues to be. I mean, one of his bankruptcies, he was literally bailed out by the Rothschilds. If you don't know what that means, okay,
right,
please just do some research, study a bit, please.
Right. I mean, well, you know, talking with you, it makes me think about Richard Grove, who, by the way, will be back on my show next month. It's been so long. But Richard decided at one point in his work, and you know how phenomenal his work is, Chuck.
Oh, yeah, Tragedy and Hope, absolutely.
Yeah, that the most important thing is to teach people critical thinking and real history. And I mean, I don't know how he does it. I don't know where he finds the courage to do 26 hours of video on one topic, okay? But he realizes that the surface, the superficial shit that you and I cover, is not important unless people can understand and learn how to think for themselves and really connect the dots. And I really, I got to give it to him for that. I honor him for his work.
But you know what, Maria, that's why you and I go back and forth. We wind up having discussions about the historical context of many things and try and pull what's happening. The superficial things that are appearing today that seem important, most of which will go to the dustbin of history. But we go back and forth, don't we? We show them the past. We show them the current situation. And on occasion, you show them the future. I'm not a great prognosticator, but I assume you can put the pieces together and figure that out yourself. You know, and most of the time, that's what, exactly what they can do when you don't tell them straight out what's coming. You know, so here's the thing. We do it our way. He does it his way. Of course, it is amazing stuff that Richard Grove puts out. Mm-hmm. And I fully endorse it and utilize a lot of it as a reference point myself. So, yes, indeed. But we do need to get people. And this is why I continuously focus on certain historical events, especially the ones that I do believe to be the keys to the kingdom, so to speak.
Right.
And, you know, my recent coverage of the Martin Luther King stuff was a little different from anybody's. Mm-hmm. For that reason, I had to put it in context. I had to explain to people, you know, here's what was on the surface, here's what was underneath. Now let's go under people's fingernails because you're going to find out what they were really scratching at. And you need to know your history. You need to know what's happening now, because that's the only way you're going to change what comes next.
That's for sure. And I mean, some of the best books you can read about history were written by Howard Zinn. And I was it was a thrill for me. I got to interview Howard Zinn 3 times before he died. Mm. You know, and we had, you know, growing up in Brooklyn in common, so he always got a kick out of that. But, you know, what they're teaching in school now, you know, they've stricken out all Native American history. They've stricken out of the textbooks, the Trail of Tears. They've stricken out how the slaughter of the Native Americans. So our children are not going to know that.
Yeah, Wounded Knee is gone.
Right.
You know, the reality
civil rights,
of Andrew Jackson.
Right, civil rights, you know, all of this, you know, just it's the total brave new world in 1984 combined.
Right.
But, you know, listen, luckily I get to work and talk to a lot of young people, and they're very responsive. They want to know, you know, and I think, you know, today I saw this morning kids all over Miami were out protesting, you know, not being safe in their school. It's not about taking guns away. These kids are sick and tired of getting shot at, kind of like Black Americans, you know, or the mentally ill that the cops just open fire on. I mean, this shit has to stop because, you know, while all of this is happening, we're all dying a slow death. And well, I don't want my grandkids to have to mutate in order to live on this planet or wear a gas mask and just look at the ocean and never be able to put a foot in the ocean.
Yeah, exactly right, Maria. I mean, look, we all care about, you know, forget if you have children or not. We all care about the future, obviously. You know, if you don't, again, I'm not sure how you found this discussion, and welcome. But we all do, as far as I know. And if we don't get a hold of our past, and we don't get, you know, some brakes on the speeding train that we seem to be on now with this ridiculous news cycle, massive distraction as weapons constantly being arrayed against us, and if we don't find a way to chelate and also eliminate the poisons which are being fed to us, you know, I don't know what hope we should hold for that future, except to say, you know, listen, I'm grateful that I may not be on this planet much longer. However, I would like to leave it in a better condition than I found it. And I know that you feel the same way. And after all, isn't that the thing that we should do?
Right.
You know, good guests here right. On this particular rock.
Absolutely. Chuck, we're out of time, but hey, we didn't spend the whole show talking about politics or Trump. I like that.
No, he got his honorable or dishonorable mention.
Right. But everybody can tune in to Chuck's show at Ocelli.com or tune in Thursday, because I'm already amassed enough news to cover, I'm sure. Yesterday was an hour and a half. Who knows how much there'll be by Thursday. So, Chuck, you take good care. I'm glad you're on the mend, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Mom.
Take care. Chuck Ocelli. Check his work out at Ocelli.com. There's about 5 people I actually recommend, and he's one of them. Anyway, I'll see you guys on Thursday. Stay safe, and thanks again for supporting the show.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.